Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go on to live the best lives. Today's show is being sponsored by $1 Million Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, why don't you go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on $1 Million Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing segment and show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Emil Mate. How you doing, Emil?
Thank you, Dr. Tommy, for having me on. It is awesome to be here. I am doing great. And yourself?
Awesome, awesome. And Emil is coming to us from South Africa right now. What time is over in South Africa right now?
It is at the moment 25 to 8 in the evening.
Oh, almost nighttime. So I appreciate you staying up a little later to join us. And our audience is looking forward to hearing from you today. And Emil, for the folks who may not necessarily know you out there, can you briefly introduce yourself, please?
100%. Thank you, Tommy. So yeah, like Tommy says, my name is Emil Matia. I am the inner critic coach. So I help people overcome that little voice in their head that holds them back through fear, worry, and self-doubt. And I just teach them how to turn that voice around from an inner bully to an inner cheerleader, to someone that has your back and that will not give up on you. And that's short, that's what I do.
That's awesome. And I love it. I love it. And if people want to get a hold of you or follow you, Emil, what's the best way to do that?
The best place to get hold of me and follow me is on Facebook in my private group. So Professionals Overcoming Fear, the Inner Critic Coach. If you just search for that, that is the best place to get hold of me.
Okay, say that one more time for us, Emil.
Professionals Overcoming Fear / the Inner Critic Coach.
Okay, awesome. So that is a great topic. I love it. And all of us have to beat down that voice inside of us who tells us we can't do it or can't achieve, especially that voice kind of stems from childhood experiences as well. So Emil, again, I appreciate you being on the show. You know, this podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you tell your story about how you've kind of overcome obstacles. So I'm gonna start with my first question. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome either personally or professionally?
For me, the biggest obstacle that I ever had to overcome was to believe in myself, and more so to actually believe that people liked me as a person and that people really cared for me. I had this huge limiting belief that people don't like me at all. Once they get to know me, the real me, they will not like me, they will not love me, and I will ultimately end up alone if I show my real self. So that was the biggest problem from school until my mid-20s that I had to overcome. And that was also the biggest problem in my business because it stopped a lot of my business growth.
Sure. And Emil, I really appreciate you being transparent and honest about that and sharing your story. So where did that belief kind of stem from? Was there a moment or a situation that kind of sparked or spawned that belief or inner critic to start telling you that?
Yeah, it definitely stemmed from my childhood. So it actually, to give you a good idea how it came into existence, I'm just going to share a bit of my background story. And so basically what happened was when I was in grade 2, I had this crush on one of the girls in my class. And now take this is almost like a lifetime ago, but so it was around February. So just before Valentine's Day. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to ask this girl to be my Valentine. The first time I ever did it, but I'm going to do it. So I went out, I bought a chocolate, I bought a rose, and I wrote like a little letter that I asked her, will you be my Valentine, with a yes and a no box on it. So the day when it was Valentine came, I went to school. I was extremely nervous, like I was shaking. My class was on the second story, so I had to take the flight of stairs up. And as I was taking them up, I was just in the suspense, wondering like, what are you going to say? Is it going to be good? Am I going to get rejected? You know, all of those thoughts just raced through my mind. And as I got up the stairs, I saw a friend of mine and I just quickly talked to her. She calmed my nerves down. And then finally, the girl that I had a crush on rocked up and she walked toward me. And as she got in front of me, I took a breath. I gave her everything. I asked her, will you be my Valentine? And do you know what the answer was, Tommy?
Wow. I'm so impressed that as a second grader, you had pretty good game back then. So I'm hoping she said yes.
So I would love to give you an answer on that, but I don't know because I actually ran away. Wow. I couldn't handle the rejection part of it. So I actually bolted, ran down the stairs, got onto the rugby field. In America, you'd call it a football field. And I just chilled there. And I felt like a huge, colossal idiot. And eventually the bell rang for me to go up to class. So I had to face the music. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to ask her before class. I'll rather wait till class is finished and then I'll ask her afterwards. And anyways, as I got into class, she was standing in front in the left front corner of the class. And she saw me walked in. And as soon as she saw me, she walked straight up to me and she gave me the letter back. And she told me, who will ever like anybody like you?
Wow.
In front of the entire class?
Wow.
Yeah. And that voice just stuck with me.
Yeah.
And as time went along, that voice changed from being her voice to being my own voice, yes, telling me that no one will ever like me, no matter what I do. And that's where that belief came from.
You know, Emil, I really appreciate your honesty and transparency sharing that, you know, because oftentimes we've had experiences. We hear about things taking place in schools. I'm a former school principal as well, of an elementary school. So a lot of those comments were made towards kids. And we don't think about how those small incidents have lingering impact on kids. We don't think sometimes as parents, how our words have a lingering impact on our kids. I mean, I'm finding that out as a parent as well, though, you know. So talk to me about over the years, because again, someone may be listening and say, oh, you know what, you were just rejected in second grade. You should have been able to get beyond that. What were some of the feelings that kind of went through? Because oftentimes when we start talking about our feelings will help us make meaning of a situation, whether it be good or bad, and they trump everything else that takes place over our lives. So talk to us about some of the feelings and emotions that you dealt with then and beyond.
So the feelings that definitely came up was loneliness. I felt extremely alone throughout my entire school lifetime. That feeling never went away. I also felt like no one understood me. I was misunderstood. No one will ever understand me. That is a big one. And I just felt disappointed, if that makes sense, yeah, in who I was and that I had to hide who I really am. Otherwise, you know, people won't like me. So for me, it was really the biggest one was the loneliness. So through the biggest thing that I actually wanted in high school was ultimately a girlfriend, because that was the one thing in school that I never really could get right. Like I had good friends, I could build relationships, but it's just girls always friend zoned me. And I feel it came from that situation. Like I had the mindset that they will never like me. So I put out the energy. But yeah, those were the majority emotions that I had to deal with in the years that follow and, well, beyond.
Yeah, you know, so if you're listening audience out there, just know that those things, those stinging moments don't necessarily go away at that point in time. They linger for years. So, Emil, as you have to kind of cope with this over the years, what were some of the coping strategies you turned to kind of keep yourself taking one foot forward and continue to move forward? How did you cope with that?
So the biggest thing that I basically did to cope with that is I always had, as long as I can remember, I had this other voice in my head that always whispered to me that I'm going to be a leader and I'm going to make a massive change in the world. Mm-hmm. Never really understood where it came from, but I just held on to that. I just said, if I can just prove that voice wrong, then my life would be worth it. Then I won't care who likes me, who doesn't like me. I ultimately end up adopting some very bad habits that didn't make my situation any better. I felt like I had to do everything by myself, like I couldn't really trust people, which is not very helpful, but it did support me for quite a long time. But the ultimate thing was just holding on to that one voice that I just felt deep down that, you know, this is something that I can do. And that carried me through the hardest times.
Yeah, that's a good strategy to use there. You know, so on your darkest day, Emil, what kept you going and didn't make you give up? Because you kept going, you kept fighting. What kept you fighting on your darkest day?
So what helped me on my darkest day, honestly, I have to say, I went through a period, this whole thing manifested like a period between 18 and 21, where I just came out of my first relationship I ever had, my first love. And that broke me as a person physically. It destroyed me completely. And I surrounded myself with basically loneliness and darkness and sadness for all those years. And that made me a very negative, pessimistic person, as you can imagine. There's no solutions. There's only problems to problems to problems. And ultimately, what happened was that got me out of it. I was about 21, 22 years old, and I was working for a cable company. We install Wi-Fi cables and stuff in offices. And we ran into a problem in one of our projects where we did an installation between the 10th and 11th story. Mm-hmm. And as we tried to get the cable through without hurting one of the support beams that obviously holds up the entire floor, I called my manager and I told him there's not a way to get through this. He actually came back to me and said, well, you'll be on site. And for every solution that he literally brought up as he got onto site, I gave him a reason for why it will not work, for why ultimately it will be failure. Mm-hmm. And he snapped at a point after the fifth time I did this. And he told me, if you continuously look at the problem and you're always negative and pessimistic about everything in your life, you're going to build a life that you'll hate and you'll regret and you'll waste your entire life. And something that he said in there, he managed to pull me out of my past and threw me into the future, mm-hmm. where I actually had a flashback of the words that he's saying at this moment is true. It is going to happen. And that is what pulled me out of the mess and kept me going in the darkest of times, which was helpful for me to just see that my biggest thing that I don't want to do is build a life of regret. And in order for me to not do that is I need to just hold on that things will get better. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, great advice, great words of wisdom as well. You know, so as you were going through this over the years, did you have any mentors or guides to kind of help you through this process?
Yeah, I had a lot. Before I went through the negative phase, I didn't. Like I said, I thought I had to do it all on my own. Sure. That end up, if you're in that position, you feel like that, try to stretch yourself, because if you try to do it all by yourself, you will end up in a position that is not, you won't be very fond of it. And life has a way to teach you the lessons that you need to learn. So that manager of mine that actually pulled me out of it, he was my very first mentor. I wasn't very obviously impressed with him screaming at me in front of everybody on site, for obvious reasons. But after about 2 weeks of being mad at this guy and ignoring this guy, I couldn't get rid of that phrase that he just told me. And I went to him actually after work the one day and I told him, I didn't appreciate you screaming in front of me in front of everybody, but your words really did something to me. And I want to know, how can I get to that life that you say I can live at, that I have the potential? And then he ultimately started guiding me and give me through YouTube channels to start watching motivational videos. And that's when that's how I got into personal development ultimately. But yeah, had a lot of mentors.
That is awesome. And that great strategies and kudos. What was his name?
His name was Donnie van der Merwe.
Donnie, okay. Great. Kudos out there to Donnie, man. Shout out to Donnie, man, for being a great mentor. Good. You know, so, you know, Emil, as you look back today, How would you say that whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person?
It shifted everything for me. It changed me completely as a person. I thought it was my biggest curse. I thought it was the thing that would destroy me. And it ultimately ended up being my biggest blessing. Yes. Funny enough, I won't change anything from my past. Let's just put it like that. I'm completely at ease with my past. And it totally shifted me to say that, listen, life is short. Things will happen. Life is unfair. Yeah. But it's what you make out of the situations and the cards that's been dealt for you, rather than complaining the hand that you got. Anybody can complain, but your situation won't change.
Absolutely. I love that. And you actually even tackled my next question. I was going to ask you, would you do anything different? You said no, you know. So I love that. You know, 99% of my guests say they would not change anything about their journey, you know. So, Emil, you know, we're coming off a tough year. 2020 has been a year where people have lost loved ones, lost finances, lost material possessions, and even some situations, many people have lost hope. What words of advice can you give those folks out there listening to tell them that, you know, hey, things are going to get better, brighter days to come? What can you tell those folks out there?
What I would tell them is don't try to go live a life which in society's eyes is success or that will bring you happiness. I would say with everything that's going on, the biggest lesson that we can take from COVID is that life is very short. It's very unpredictable. And you owe it to yourself to go do the thing that's in your heart that you want to do with your entire being. Mm-hmm. And put the fears and worries aside and say, I owe it to my life to go after the thing that I feel I was put on this planet to go and do. I would say if you just focus on that, no matter how absurd it sounds or how out there it might be, once you start just focusing on that life and start taking small steps, it is amazing how your results and how your outside life ultimately starts changing. And with that being said, I would also tell them to don't put their focus on the outside world. If you really, really, truly want to make meaningful, lasting change, start looking after yourself and start looking on the inside and change what you feel needs to change on the inside. And that will change what you feel needs to change on the outside.
That's powerful, Emil. I really appreciate you sharing that. So Emil, those are words of advice that will last a lifetime. So Emil, if people want to follow you again, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get hold of me will be on Facebook. So just my normal handle, Emil Mattia. LinkedIn as well, Emil Mattia. But the very best place is my Facebook group, Professionals Overcoming Fear, the Inner Critic Coach.
That's awesome. So, Emil, we've talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
I'm ready. I'm really
ready. All right, game for fun. I love it. I love it. So this is part of our podcast. This portion is called a rapid fire purpose questions, okay? I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your most concise, best answer. You ready?
Cool. I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Emil, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
By following what I call my hero's voice, by following my intuition, my gut feeling.
Awesome. What gives your life meaning?
To be able to use the circumstances that defeated me and help other people go through that and actually overcome it.
Great answer. Yeah. What one word best describes you?
Persistent.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
My favorite thing to do as a kid is to ride a bike and just totally play video games as well. Those two things.
Awesome. Good. So a lot of people can relate to that out there. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time to focus on my deeper relationships, like with my friends and family.
Awesome. Good. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
I think being a CEO of a company, right. To be honest.
Awesome. Okay. Who inspires you the most?
Les Brown.
Okay. Good. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
That I speak to myself loudly, like, yeah, full on, like a party.
Awesome. My wife would join you in that conversation. She does the same thing all the time. Yeah. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
To go scuba diving in the Egypt side, the Red Sea.
Okay. Man, that's great. Yeah, let me know about that. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Honestly, I would say is to teach kids how to build skills to actually take on life after school, like emotional thought processes, those type of skills.
Awesome. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
That I live a fully authentic life where fear didn't hold me back at all, and I went after my dreams with everything I had.
Yes, good. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Flying.
Okay, flying. Good one. Yeah. What sparks your creativity?
I would say that's an interesting question, actually. Motivating other people.
Okay, good. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Its school systems must change.
So you get my vote for that one there. I love it. If you could follow someone around for the day, who would it be and why?
Jim Carrey, because he's the way of his viewing the world is so out there. It's so creative and inspiring.
Yes, I love it. Great pick right there. Yeah. What do you love to do for others?
I like to help others really manage their emotions. I would say is the biggest thing that I love enjoying to teach others.
Awesome. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
My best friend gave me this gift just when I came back from Cambodia on living on a tropical island. She made this box for me and a boat completely made out of candle wax.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Take risks, I would honestly say.
Good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
The day when I got my provincial colors in athletics.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Good.
What does success look like for you?
So success looks like for me being able to live a life completely free of money problems.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. Good. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for having the life that I've lived, to be honest.
And Emil, last one, last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered in history as the person that made the new norm for people to be positive, forward-thinking people that lives a life fully authentically, them like how they want to live life.
That is awesome. Emil, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Great job, my man. That wasn't too bad, right? So, folks.
No, it wasn't.
Emil Mate. So you got to follow me. Emil, what's the best way to get a hold of you again if people want to follow you? And hopefully, folks, if you're listening out there, you see an amazing young man who has a great story, can teach you a lot of stuff. And, you know, who can better teach you to change that inner voice to become your superhero and your champion than a person who's kind of been there, done that? So, Emil, if people want to follow you, what's the best way to get a hold of you again?
My private Facebook group, Professionals Overcoming Fear, the Inner Critic Coach.
Awesome. Awesome. Emil, last but not least, our podcast centers around two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Never give up on your dream and go after it with every single breath that you have in your body, all the energy that you have. It is truly you owe it to yourself and to everybody else to make that your reality.
Awesome. And there you have it, folks. Emil Mate, great job. Folks out there, if you are someone who has an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Once again, Emil, I want to thank you for joining me, my man. Your message is going to be a blessing to a lot of folks. Everyone else out there, thank you for joining us today. God bless, peace, and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.